You might remember our guests this week from some of the final days of our Windsor Spitfires playing at the Barn. After playing with the likes of Josh Bailey, Mickey Reno, and Taylor Hall, Bradley Stetsinger chased the dream of playing in the NHL. After going through the ranks of the AHL, Brad jumped overseas to Germany, where he's been playing for the past 8 seasons. Meanwhile, his elder, Cal O'Reilly, after 2 fantastic years with the Spits, has dominated the AHL for the past 15 seasons, and even playing 145 NHL games to date. He's currently part of the Philadelphia Flyers organization, playing for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Join me, Drake DeMore, as both men join me on the podcast for individual interviews about their time in Windsor and where they've gone from there.
Hello, how you doing? It's Zach Caskey.
Adam Henrique.
Joe Siddle.
Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie. And
holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Drake DeMore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast. The radio show airs live on CJAM 99.1 FM every Thursday at 12:30 and replays on Tuesdays at 8. You can catch every single episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, of course, wherever you're listening to it right now, but we are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any podcast platform. Give us a follow, subscribe, whatever it is, give us a review if you're whatever platform you're using. And that's the same for social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be, to keep caught up with the pod and always sharing some cool stuff. And on our YouTube, we have some exclusive videos and interviews and previews from the podcast and much, much more. But on to business. Welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast. This week it is February 6, 2020, and it's episode 181 of Wind City Sports. And as you already know, we're bringing on a double shot of interviews this week with two former Windsor Spitfires who have now gone on to play pro hockey overseas in the AHL and in the NHL. So we're going to get into those interviews very soon. We're going to have Bradley Stetsinger first. Again, you might remember both of these guys from the Barn days and some of the final Barn days. Brad was there just before they moved on to the Windsor, the new Windsor Arena, I guess you can say, the WFCU Center. And Cal was there just shortly before, and I believe a little bit of overlapping. He was there around 2004, 2005, 2006, around those seasons. And I certainly remember him standing out here in Windsor as a very offensive player. Cal O'Reilly, the brother of Ryan O'Reilly, St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup champion from last year, as you'll hear a little bit about on the interview. And again, Brad Stetsinger, another guy who was just a very offensive player, putting up lots of points and playing with some great players, who was so close to being part of that Memorial Cup team, again, as you'll hear in the interviews coming up very soon. Later on in the show, we have some local sports news. As always, we got some stuff on our Windsor Spitfires, Windsor Lancers all sports, and Windsor Express basketball team. For those two, the Express and the Spitfires, hasn't been a great week for them, but again, we'll talk about that at the end of the show, as we always do. We're going to do our Windsor Lancers athletes of the week first, but another thing I want to talk about is this past weekend I went to a few games over in Detroit. And it's still local. I mean, we cover Windsor Detroit stuff here on the podcast and on the radio show. Speaking of which, you'll hear a lot more news on the radio show if you're able to catch that. Or you can always listen to replays on cjam.ca as well. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, usually putting out some stuff, reminding you guys how to catch the radio show. But anyway, so I went down Friday night to Little Caesars Arena. It was basically, well, it certainly was Canadian Heritage Night, as they were promoting it for Canadians across the border here, really close to come see the only Canadian team and defending 2019 NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors. And holy shit, I could not believe the turnout of just Canadians, simply put. So they were promoting it, kind of cheaper tickets and giving out some incentives. I guess they gave out shirts if you purchase with a promo code, but still, aside from that, obviously lots of Raptors fans from across the board, and even Toronto. My friend Kareem came down from Toronto, took the Greyhound bus, and a lot of people that he was with on the bus with kind of took the same suit as himself, and were almost following him to the tunnel bus right from there. So obviously a lot of people from Toronto came down. I can only imagine London and Chatham as well. Which is pretty surprising. I mean, even if you're living that close to Toronto. It's that much better to come down here to Detroit and play them or see them play there. And then, of course, you know, the Pistons are on a decline, to say the least. A lot the same with the Wings, which is kind of a little bit of the comparison I want to bring. So when you go to a Leafs versus Wings game in Detroit, the border is always packed, the buses are always packed, lots of people, lots of fans, lots of Canadians going over having fun. And you know what, it could be a little bit more stressful than a regular day going over there, but this completely blew it out of the water. I have never seen so much so many people on those, so many buses. I have photos from in Detroit of the lineup of the bus, but it just doesn't do it justice. There's probably like 200 people lined up at the bus station in Windsor just to get on those buses. And they sent like four at the same time, and then we ended up getting on another. There were six buses at the border at the same time, completely packed with all Toronto Raptors fans. Myself, I grew up a Pistons fan. I've always been a huge, or not always, or huge. I was a huge Pistons fan back in, you know, the Bad Boys 2.0 era with Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups, and I can name them all, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those were the glory days, and of course, last year, you can't help but not support Toronto and their championship, so I'm kind of a fake Raptors fan. I still want to be a Pistons fan, although they suck. And me and Kareem were the only two people on those buses, and better yet, in that arena, they're repping and cheering for the Pistons, to not to put them down, because that's, you know, like when you have Leafs and Wings games, I'd say the same thing. There's still a lot of Wings fans. There's a lot of people from Windsor that are Wings fans and want to go over to that game. So they're kind of both in the same boat, you know, where the Toronto teams are good and the Detroit teams are not so good. So I don't want to say that that's the reason why Detroit fans weren't there, but it was just a clear presence of Canadians. Tremendous Let's Go Raptors, or Go Raptors Go, We the North chants, stuff like that. It was truly unbelievable. Something I always talk about is, like, again, when the Leafs are in town, you'll hear Go Leafs Go chants, and at the least, that arena is half blue, half red, and this time, didn't see a lot of red, a lot of purple and black for the Raptors. So it was a pretty cool experience to see, and you know, kind of want to give, I guess, shout outs to them. They certainly sold their product, and it's not a doubt that there's a market in Toronto and in Canada for basketball. So hopefully that picks up for our Windsor Express, as we'll talk about later. They've been struggling, and our Windsor Spitfires as well are looking to bounce back tonight in their home game. But we'll talk all about that following our interviews. We're going to kick things off with Bradley Stetsinger right now. Here we go. Yeah. Right now on the phone via WhatsApp from Germany right now, a former Windsor Spitfire. He's went on to take over the ranks of hockey overseas. After a few stints in Italy and Netherlands, settled in Germany with the, help me on this one, Memmingen Indians. Bradley Stetsinger, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, dude. So, kid from Ajax, starts his junior career with the Mississauga Ice Dogs at the time. It had to have been pretty cool to stay in the GTA and play at a high-level team close to home, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was great. It was only about 40 minutes from my house, so I got to go home a lot, but still got to move out of home and experience billets and stuff like that, and it was a great team that got drafted to with some amazing players there, mm-hmm. So it was really fun.
Yeah, that was just the beginning, and that's true. You got to play with some very high-level players, and it continued when you came over to Windsor. That was your first, dealing of being traded as a player. So what do you remember about coming over to the club in here here in Windsor first?
I guess, obviously, the big one in Mississauga was Patrick O'Sullivan. Everybody knew who he was and how good he was. And then we ended up trading for Kyle Quincy that came in, and Cody Bass was young at the time. He was drafted in the first round. He was good, and the coach was Greg Gilbert, had a bunch of Stanley Cups and coached in the NHL and had a great career. So it was definitely eye-opening to come in and be able to practice with those guys and see how they work every day and on and off the ice.
And what do you remember about first coming over to Windsor?
When I first got traded there, I remember Mo was the coach. I think he just got hired. He gave me a call And I remember talking to DJ, and I actually didn't even know if I was going to go. I heard a lot of things that weren't good about Windsor, and we played there once the season before, and the rink was awful to play in, and the old barn there. So until I talked to DJ, I was actually up in the air whether I was going to go or not, and talking to him on the phone, just how he talked about the program there and what they wanted to do, and Billy Bowler was there, which I knew from, he's from the Toronto area, and has a great reputation and a good name, and I knew his dad a little bit, so decided to go, and that's the best decision I ever made. It was amazing playing 3-on-3 in the mornings with those guys on the ice, and the guys that were in school, and then practice at night. It was great.
Well, you certainly came in to the Spitfires organization what would become a big transition period and rebuild for the organization in the years to come. As you mentioned, I maybe heard some negative things about the team at the time, but even when they were kind of in the slums your first year, there was so much talent around you. Again, as you're talking about the guys in Mississauga, I'm sure it's kind of the same here in Windsor. Is that something that's kind of memorable for you?
Yeah, when I came in, I didn't really know much of the guys because we only played them, I think, once home and away. So we didn't see them a lot. But then, like a guy like Cal O'Reilly, you can't say enough about him, how skilled he was, how well he saw the ice, he could pass the puck. And then you realize he was Billy's nephew, and then it all clicked. So, but he was amazing. Ryan Garlock was there. Mitch Manu. We had a great team. Liscombe. There's tons of older guys that have been there for a few years that put up great numbers and were fun to play with. McFarland was a great captain that year, and obviously now he's coaching the NHL, so shows how good of a leader he was.
And I didn't even realize it until I was doing some research yesterday, actually, but you're on the team when that whole Alou Downey thing went down, and of course it's a pretty hot topic right now, and not looking for anything in particular, but since you were there and assumingly on the ice, how did that kind of all insinuate for you? And I guess if you have any opinion on that whole situation now.
Yeah, I don't remember it all that well, but I'm pretty sure it happened. There was a power play practice going on, and the power play guys were on the ice, and I guess he was on the bench, and they were chirping back and forth, and then I guess he went on the ice. I was actually in the dressing room for the start of it, so I didn't see what happened, and then Akeem came in the room and waiting, and then ended up getting dressed and going back on the ice, and that's when they fought. So I'm not sure exactly how it started. Everyone's got a little bit of a different take on it, but yeah, unfortunately it happened. But unfortunately cameras were there. I think that's the only problem. I played on a lot of teams before where guys get in fights in practice and then they just kind of pick up their gloves and go back to the drill. So I think with all the cameras being there and the news being there, it was a huge story. But I think back in those days, it wasn't out of the ordinary to have a fight practice.
Yeah, and it seems like it was kind of the narrative for the organization at the time. That's why I believe media was even there, to kind of get a story on the team. And then sure as shit, this happens right in front of their eyes, right? And everyone that I've talked to about it, they all kind of say the same thing, is that it wasn't like clear in the dressing room. It wasn't like a big ongoing thing. It was just all of a sudden like, this is happening. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, and I think it was just the timing of it. You know, the league was changing. All the older guys were getting out. It was becoming a lot younger. When I got drafted, only the first two round guys were allowed to play. And I think the third rounder could play something like 10 games or something like that. I'm not sure what the rule was, but they definitely had different rules back then. And it was a much older league. And with the young guys coming up, and obviously the traditions with hazing and picking up pucks and cleaning the bus and doing the food and stuff like that, they were starting to get rid of all that stuff. So it was kind of caught between the old guys that grew up with all that and the young guys coming in that never had to and shouldn't have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a changing of the guard, it seems like, for the whole, I guess, league. And as mentioned, you were around for the transition period after all that kind of happened. By the end, we have what we know as our Memorial Cup championship team. We had Taylor Hall, Adam Henrique, Ryan Ellis, et cetera, et cetera. And you were there just at the end of that. I'm sure, were you thinking like, man, if only I only had one more year in the O?
Yeah, Yeah, for sure. I think, I know you talked to Webby on here. I think he would say the same thing, like, God, I wish we could have played one more year there. You know, it was fun to be a part of seeing those guys grow up and play. And when I was back from my first pro year, went to a lot of games and watched a lot of the games, was there when they won the OHL championship the first year. So, you know, it was nice to see and just be a little bit of a part of and watch them. But, you know, Boogie, Bundy, and all those guys did a great job with that organization and that team. And glad to see it happen, and they deserved it.
That's pretty cool to hear you come back, because you were actually there at the end of the barn days, as you mentioned too. You got to play in the infamous barn, and then they get their new arena and just a whole transition period for the team. So I'm sure it was kind of a tight-knit group for you to be able to come back and want to watch their games, right? So I'm sure it's something that you were kind of holding close to your heart.
Yeah, it was. It was actually funny. My cousin was playing on Brampton the year that they won it. So, but I was in the stands cheering for Windsor, obviously, with Webby and Bailey were there. So we all saw them win it, and it was great to see. Wish could have been on the ice for it, but definitely good to see.
That's really cool, man. And from the Spits, you went on to play in the AHL and ECHL for a few years. But prior to all of that, even prior to the Spitfires, actually, let's kind of go back a little bit to your draft year, because you came in after your draft year, really, for the NHL. You went undrafted, only playing 62 games at the time, which may not be a huge surprise at the time, but given your last three seasons with the Spits is when you really started to blow up. So at that point, were you being heavily recruited and scouted, or were you still kind of grinding to try and get an NHL contract?
Yeah, I think my first year in Windsor, I got 29 goals or 27 goals, something like that. So I realized, like, okay, maybe I can play at this level and put up some good numbers. And came back the next year and had another pretty good year, but still, nothing was really happening. I ended up getting shoulder surgery that summer. And then halfway through the summer, Boogie called me and said, hey, I got your tryout in Colorado to go to training camp there. So start working out and start focusing on hockey. Don't think about going to this school or going to play in the East Coast. Like, get ready. You're going to go to training camp there. You're going to come back and play for us, have a good year, and go from there. And that's what kind of took everything around for me. We had a student there, Mark Turner, Tennessee there, was great with me. To work with me off the ice about mentally preparing for games and being mentally focused and going through a little bit of a program with me that ultimately changed my game and the way I played and saw everything. And I was fortunate enough that I got a contract at Christmas in New Jersey. So I didn't have an agent or anything. It was Rudy actually did everything for me, did all the negotiation and just called me. This is basically as good as it's going to get, so I think.
That's pretty cool, man. And one thing that I find interesting with your AHL and ECHL experience, and kind of to allude with, I guess, the experience with Bugner kind of helping you out there too, you crossed paths with a lot of former teammates from the Spits. And as you mentioned, I guess your cousin was playing on Brampton at the time when they played against Windsor in the OHL final. Is that Ed?
My brother.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I found interesting was that you got to cross paths with him and play.
My brother played Yeah, for sure. So he was a university guy, like University of Toronto, and then went over to Germany actually for a little bit, didn't work out. He came back home, and I was with Utah Grizzlies at the time, and they said, okay, we need a guy for a little bit. You want to bring him in? So we ended up bringing him in there and got to play a few games with him. It was a good experience. I haven't played with him since my minor hockey or high school hockey. This is still a while. So we were on the same ice together and playing together. So it was definitely fun. And then my first couple years ago, like playing against Webby and guys like that, and you play junior with them, it was a fun experience for sure.
That's pretty cool. And were you and your brother always hockey kids growing up?
Yeah, he was a year older than me. But growing up, I always tried to play him to get up and kind of play with him more. Sometimes it was against him, but I guess it's a lot of travel when you have two kids on two different teams. So it didn't work out that we could get on the same team. It it definitely helped all that trip.
Yeah, no doubt. So it looks like 2010, 2011 was your last season in North America before first jumping over to Italy to play. So how did that decision all kind of come to me? Did you want to go overseas, or were you just looking for opportunities to play somewhere at a good level?
Yeah, I was looking for something back home, and a bunch of OHL guys that I just played with and a guy I grew up with all signed on one team in Italy, and they gave me a call and said, hey, there's like five of us here. There's one more spot. If you want to come and join us, it's yours. So we all decided to go over together. It was a great experience to see the country. Yeah, so it was great because there's a close group of guys over there, and we got to travel around, and we did as much traveling as we could, much sightseeing as we could when we weren't playing. It was actually a pretty relaxed schedule in Italy, and the practices were pretty relaxed and laid back when I was there. It was a good league, though. There was a lot of imports there, so every team had probably about 5 to 8 Canadian or Americans on it, so we would all get together on the time off and travel and hang out together, so it was a good experience.
Yeah, I'm sure being able to live in Italy was amazing, and the following year you're off to Germany and a few games in the Netherlands, it seems like, too. But aside from that, you just kind of settled in Germany, so I'm sure you enjoyed the lifestyle there and kind of decided to stick around.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to meet my wife my first year in Germany, and we started dating my second year, and ended up getting married a couple years later, so that's one of the reasons why I stayed in Germany and stayed here. But it's a great country. It's a lot of fun to live over here. It's easy to travel. You can drive to Paris, you can drive to the mountains, you can drive to Prague. You don't have that same lifestyle in Canada, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you ever think that playing hockey would give you the ability to travel the world like this?
No, I thought maybe for a year or two. I had an uncle that played over in Austria and Germany back in the day, so I thought, oh, okay, maybe for 1 or 2 years I can travel and see a little bit of the world and not have to pay a lot to do it. So
yeah,
that was definitely a thought, but I didn't think it would end up being married with a kid and a dog and a house over Germany.
That's yeah, sure. No doubt. Or even just America, you thought maybe you could play hockey in North America and see some of that, but you end up in Germany for better part of what, 6 years now?
Yeah, I think this is my 7th season over here. The 1 year I played half the season and then ended up going over to Holland to play at the end of their season and for their playoff run. But besides that, yeah, I've been here for 7 years now.
And you probably don't come home in the summer either, now having a family and wife there, right?
Yeah, I try to get home as much as I can. Last year we were actually back for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
We got a little place in Bell River on the water there on Lake St. Clair, so we try to get back to that whenever we can. But yeah, it's definitely a lot harder now with the family and the dog and everything like that.
That's interesting, man. A kid from Ontario is living out in Germany and still coming home. It's pretty cool. But we're going to kind of wrap it up with your playing career here, because obviously, like you said, you've enjoyed Germany and the level of play out there. And it looks like you jumped to a new squad this year after being with Herner for 2 seasons. So kind of just talk about this this new group and new season for you.
Yeah, we were always up on the north side or in the middle of Germany. And I played down this in the south for a couple months 1 year. And the countryside's beautiful. It's close to the mountains and stuff like that. And we just figured it would be a nice change with a young daughter and the dog, and my wife's on maternity leave, so worked out perfect for the time to come here.
Yeah, sometimes it's timing, like you mentioned, and again, being able to travel and find a good spot in Germany, let alone the country. I'm sure there's so many beautiful cities that you can almost choose from.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it 10 years ago how many actually hockey teams there are in Germany and how many different leagues and stuff like that and different places you could play, and It was really eye-opening once I got here to find all these villages that have their own team and their own ring and stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. When people say, like, oh, so-and-so's playing overseas or they're playing in Germany, it's like, exactly where are they playing? Because there's so many leagues out there, so much opportunity.
It was a little bit surprising, but there's a lot of cities that really love hockey over here. And it's growing and growing as the years go on. And feel like more kids are starting to play, and they're building more rinks and renovating the old ones. So it's definitely going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's pretty big out there.
Yeah, and it definitely helped with the national team that did pretty good at the Olympics, and they've been competing better at the World Championships, so that definitely helps kids want to play and get some more money back into the sport.
All right, man. And to kind of wrap it up, just one last question. If you can remember, when's the last time that you got a haircut or a shave?
Actually, it was probably right before I left Canada this summer. Kind of got it cleaned up a little bit. So hopefully it'll last till I get back there.
That's awesome. I was happy to see you still have the flow, and I was looking up some photos of you, and accompanied by a nice beard as well. So that was pretty great.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for taking the time to do this, man. I appreciate you calling from Germany with a 6-hour difference and making the time for it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Drake DeMore back here quickly on the podcast. That was Bradley Stetsinger, a former Windsor Spitfire, as you should know by now, and playing out in Germany. Just a complete powerhouse out there from what I understand, too. As we kind of talked about, he was on the team for a few years, the same team, and it was kind of a little bit of a breaking news story out in Germany when Bradley Stetsinger, the lumberjack, as I like to call him. That's why that last question, you got to look up photos of him and see how this man looks like now. If you remember him from back in the day, and here there's even him as Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's pretty good. As I'm looking on Google right now, trying to pull up his stats from this year, I want to let you know how he's doing. So he was playing, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the team's names and stuff like that. But he was playing on that team. I believe he was the captain or assistant captain, which is why it was a little bit of a shock for him to leave and go to a new team, I suppose, out there in Germany. It was cool also that he owns a place out in Belle River. That was cool to see. But this year so far, in holy crap, 32 games, 30 goals, and 34 assists in his new team, 64 points, 32 games. He's got to be leading the team. Yeah, absolutely he is. So again, a guy from Ajax, former Windsor Spitfire, out there killing it. But also thanks a lot to Bradley for taking the time to do that. There was a little bit of technical difficulties for that one, and excuse that. I know I thought I mastered it, but I'm still running into some problems once in a while. But that guy was calling all the way from Germany on WhatsApp. So, you know, it is what it is. And it was a good conversation. So I got to thank him for taking the time out to do it. And again, with the time difference, calling from Germany. And we're going to get into the Cal O'Reilly one in a minute. We'll go over and tell you what he's been doing, at least as this season. And we do talk about it a bit, you know, with his new squad. This is his first season with that team. But first, I want to tell you about our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week via GoLancers.ca. This week from the track and field team, it's Manny Brunette. And from the men's volleyball team, Pierce Johnson. Pierce was unstoppable for the Lancers on the road this past weekend. On Saturday versus Trent, Pierce led the Lancers in scoring with 14.5 points and served the Excalibur into trouble throughout the match in a Lancers 3-set victory. On Sunday, he had his best performance of the season, scoring 22.5 points in an epic 5-set contest versus Toronto. With a combined 28 kills and only 3 errors, on the weekend, Pierce hit a whopping .446. Meanwhile, Mandy had a great weekend at the Youngstown Invitational, where she set a new personal best and captured the first place captured first place in the women's triple jump with a leap of 12.01 meters. That jump also ranked her number one in U-Sport rankings in the entire country of Canada. So congratulations to Mandy on that special feat. But both Mandy and Pierce on becoming our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week. But now let's transition back into a hockey interview with former Windsor Spitfire and now AHL/NHL player Cal O'Reilly. Here we go.
Alrighty, right now on the phone we have a former Windsor Spitfire drafted to the Nashville Predators in 2005
And he's currently a Lehigh Valley Phantom in the AHL. Cal O'Reilly, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
So you grew up in a small community out here in Ontario, Seaforth, seemingly quite the hockey family. So what was life growing up like a bit out there?
I mean, it was great. We were right by Seaforth, a small town. We were able to get access to a lot of ice that Graham Nesbitt, who ran the Seaforth Arena, would give us ice as kids, basically, and just leave the lights off and let us play all the time and practice. And it was really great for my brother and my sisters and my dad working with us.
A lot of people don't get that that privilege, really. I mean, to be able to have ice time whenever you want, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a big difference. And for those unfamiliar, Cal's brother is Ryan with the St. Louis Blues. So two pro hockey players out of the same household. And you even got to play with each other a little bit, as we'll get into. But I didn't realize that you were good, 6 years older than him? So it still must be pretty cool.
I think he's just about 5 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm. So it must be cool having a brother in the game too, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, growing up, we did everything together. I always... he always came and played with me and my buddies, so they were always 5-6 years older than him. So it was obviously a big thing for him as he got older, playing with his older kids, and it was really good for his development.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times with, you know, a last name like O'Reilly is not super common, but it's not super out there either. So I didn't realize you guys were brothers for a while.
Yeah,
I probably get that a lot. But let's get into the Windsor Spitfires a bit. What do you remember about first coming down here to Windsor and to the club?
I remember my first training camp, and I believe they still had some guys like Wellwood and Kyle Wellwood and some of those older guys, and just how good they were and how good the hockey was compared to what I just was playing. And it was just really cool, you know. When you're young, you just think that's such a high level of hockey and a good hockey, and then you get there and you're playing it, and kind of, you know, with what you dreamed about starting at your hockey career, playing in the OHL, was pretty amazing. And I remember the old arena that I played in, and how cool was it playing there, the atmosphere, the fans right on top, you always had good fans, some of the memories I have.
Yeah, definitely, man. We always like to reminisce about that stuff. And I always talk about people, or talk to people about that. And, you know, being basically a kid, a young teenager coming in to pretty much start your hockey career, I'm sure it's got to be a little bit nerve-wracking. But is that something that you always wanted to do? Like, was that always your mentality? It was like hockey, hockey, hockey?
Oh, yeah. It was hockey since I could walk. That was everything.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really like too much running through your head. It was just kind of what you always... thought you were going to be doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was funny, my cousin, when I was really young, he played for the Spitfires as well. Bill Bowler.
Oh, I didn't know that. Holy crap.
Yeah, so he's one of our first cousins. Now he's the general manager,
yeah.
Right? But so we always went to watch him play for the Spitfires when he was playing in the OHL. And that's when me and my brother were like, "Oh, we got to play in the OHL. And And then I got drafted by the Spitfires and was playing for them, so it was pretty cool.
That's very cool, man. And one of the Spitfires legends and OHL record holder too, Bill Bowler.
Yes.
And your cousins.
It was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and then you end up going there too. It looks like your first year was a little bit of a struggle, but you came back following year with 73 points, and then top it off with your third and final 99. That second year, did you kind of have a fire under your ass to kind of prove?
Yeah, you know, the rookie year is tough for most rookies coming into the league. You got to prove yourself, and you got to kind of learn how to play at that level. And it just took me some time, and then I got a good opportunity the second year, and we had a decent team, and it just kind of took off from there.
Mm-hmm. That was a very pivotal time for the Spitfires. You played in some of the last days of the Barn, and I certainly remember your time with the Spits, as you kind of mentioned before. You know, playing in the Barn and just having the fans on top of you. Did you enjoy Windsor as a city? And do you recall any like crazy moments that took place in the Barn that a lot of people like to talk about?
Yes, I do. I really enjoyed it. I'm really fortunate to get great billets who I still talk to, Don and Howard Kale. They lived over by the Penalty Box restaurant on Tecumseh Road, I believe it's on Tecumseh
yep,
Road.
Yep.
But I was so fortunate to get them because they were just so great for me. And my parents felt great about me moving in with them, and it was great. And then hockey-wise, was just, I think my biggest memory is when Game 7 in Sault Ste. Marie, we were down 3-0 and came back and won in Game 7 in Sault Ste. Marie, and that was pretty amazing and pretty one of my biggest memories of junior hockey for sure. Mm-hmm. Is beating them in 7 games in the Sioux.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, always playoff games stand out, especially thinking way back to, almost 15, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, a while ago now.
And, you know, when I look through that Hockey DB at a lot of your teammates from the Spits, they stand out to me, you know, rather because they went on to play in the NHL or because they were kind of local celebrities here because of the Spits. So I'm sure you can attest to the kind of players that you were surrounded with during your time in the OHL.
Yeah, I mean... I played a lot of good players there. And, you know, my last year there, I played Brian Bickle. We were line mates the whole year. He was we picked him up from Ottawa, I believe, and that was pretty great for our team. And for me to play with a guy like that was just great. You know, he had a great career. And he had to retire because of his illness, but he was a great guy. And that year was pretty memorable for both of us. How well it went for us.
Mm-hmm. And after that second season with the Spits, as mentioned, you were drafted by the Nashville Predators 2005. You came back to play here, but once you got up to the Milwaukee Admirals, you quickly got comfortable there, and one of their top scorers at the time. Was that a surprise?
Well, it was good. After that year, we got put out the playoffs in Windsor. I got to go up and play some playoff games with Milwaukee. And that kind of gave me a good idea what I was in for and what I had to work on and to play at that level. And then the next year came back, and we had a great, really good coach that saw the type of player I was and really gave me an opportunity to play that role and to work on things I needed to work on. And he gave me a lot of ice time and responsibility and played me as a good player. And that just really helped me develop pro level really quickly.
It wasn't really running through your head like, I can't believe that I'm putting up these numbers, or, you know, like, I'm worried about what I have to do out there. It just kind of happened naturally.
Yeah, it just kind of happened, and I knew I could do it. It's just getting the opportunity and a coach that saw what I could do and gave me that opportunity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors when it goes into, you know, a sport like hockey, you know, who you're surrounded with, whether it be your players or coaches, and it doesn't really play out in the numbers when you read them, really, you know. There could be much bigger stories behind the stats than people might realize.
For sure, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff going on, and I was really fortunate my first year to get a guy like I had, and Claude Noel was the coach, and it was really great for me.
Mm-hmm. And now you've had a long pro career after leaving Windsor between the AHL and NHL. But during that 2012-13 lockout, yourself along with your brother Ryan and, of course, many other North Americans went overseas. But it found the O'Reilly brothers playing for Paul Maurice in the KHL. So what was that experience like to play with your brother for probably the first time? I mean, like I said, the age difference, right?
Actually, what happened was I signed over there first. And I went over and started playing for Paul Maurice, which was great over there. I really enjoyed it, the hockey, and had playing for him. And then I ended up getting hurt and having a back surgery. So by the time my brother signed to play over there, I was gone back home during the surgery and rehab. So we actually didn't play just a game together over there. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, when I was healthy for playoffs, the lockout ended and he came back.
Yeah.
So we played in the same team, but we never actually played together.
Was that like kind of the idea though, to try and play together?
Yeah, well, he wasn't sure what he was going to do because he was holding out, so too, as well with contract stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it'd be great, but we didn't know if it would work out, and it just so happened that I got hurt and then they signed him. So
yeah, I mean, sometimes, like I said, like there's more story behind the stats than it may seem, right?
Yeah.
Just like I was saying. Yeah. So some people don't like it out there, too, as much as, you know, others. But it seems like you went back the following year. This time you had a different coach with Mike Keenan. And they actually went on to win, but you decided to come back. It looks like you went to Utica. Did you want to get back to North America?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed it. I wanted to go back, and I wasn't sure if I would ever go back because I enjoyed it so much the first year, but... It just happened. We hired Mike Keenan. Paul left, and really just wasn't a very good fit with Mike and myself, and it wasn't going well. I wasn't producing, and we just basically agreed that to terminate my contract, and I decided to come back and sign with Vancouver and Utica.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, being able to see hockey around the world, like you mentioned, you liked it out there too. And a long 14-year pro career after leaving the Spits alone, I'm sure you're still loving the game to be going this strong.
Oh, yeah, I'm still loving it, and I hope to keep playing as long as I can at a highest level I can. I still love it, and if I still love it, I'll keep playing it.
So kind of bring it a little bit current with your squad now, the Flyers farm team, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. It looks like you got a good group out there.
Yeah, we do. We have a good team. We had about a rough stretch about 2 weeks ago for about a month where we just couldn't win, and we had a whole bunch of injuries and guys called up, so we went on. We had a bit of a tough slide, but we've won 5-0-1 in the last six, and hopefully get ourselves back in the playoff picture.
Yeah, step by step. That's what you've been dealing with your whole life, pretty much, eh? So, I mean, obviously, adversity in regards to the hockey is not something that you're worried about.
Yeah, that happens. Happens to most teams with injuries, call-ups, and just the way it goes. Sometimes we just hit it early in the year, and it was a tough stretch for us. But now we're getting healthy and got guys down, so I think we should be able to get ourselves back in the playoff picture.
Mm-hmm. And as mentioned, you know, you had quite the long career as we speak, and you mentioned you just want to keep playing at the highest level you can for as long as you can, but have you ever had those thoughts of what I'm going to do after playing, or are you going to just see what happens when it happens?
Yeah, I definitely have now as I'm getting older. I haven't made a 100% decision, but you know, mm-hmm. I definitely like to stay in the game, probably get into coaching or something like that, and stay involved and try and become a good coach.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of options for you probably after playing that will open up, but it seems like, you know, some people don't even want to go down that route, or they're worried about what they might do next, but I'm sure there's always going to be something for you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in the game. I just love the game and want to stay in it as long as I can, and when I'm done, I'll hopefully get into coaching.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, right?
Exactly.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, dude.
No problem. No problem at all.
I appreciate it. All right, there we have it. Thanks again to Cal Riley for taking the time to do that, shooting the shit with me by phone. Again, he's out in Lehigh Valley, wherever that is. But he's playing for the Phantoms, the AHL team affiliated with the Philadelphia Flyers. If you look him up, he's been around everywhere. And, you know, as we were talking about, I gotta mention too, like he must have had some injuries, but he did spend full seasons playing, you know, up to almost 40 games in the NHL. It's not like he's been bounced and thrown back and forth between the A and the NHL for forever, and he even did go overseas, as mentioned, the KHL. Almost got to play with his brother for the first time, and the last three or four seasons, last time he played an NHL game was with the Minnesota Wild. He was the captain of the Iowa Wild, their AHL team, and he's currently got 21 points, 4 goals, 17 assists, and 37 games. So I'm sure he's, you know, transitioned to that leader role. Although he's the third highest scoring player on the team, just before Morgan Frost. He was on the World Juniors just last year with Mikey DiPietro. So again, it's always cool to catch up with some former Windsor Spitfires, and we're going to start trying to do some different eras here on the show, catching up with guys from the past. As you may have seen, we did a lot from the back-to-back Memorial Cup championship wins. We probably got we got over 10, I think, coaches and players from that era, split between the two teams itself. You know, it's a little bit different rosters between the two, and you know, there's a lot of different eras to be looking at with our Windsor Spitfires, and we're going to start trying to dig into that and kind of gather them up all here on the pod. But as always, there's always lots of sports news to talk about. Before I get into our Windsor Express and Windsor Spitfires, we're going to kick it off with our Windsor Lancers. As always, lots of sports to talk about. In our weekly recap for the Windsor Spancers, Windsor Lancers, Jesus. The men and women's basketball teams lost games on Friday to Ottawa, 66-55 for the women and 95-66 for the men. On Saturday, the men picked up a big win over Munis Tutu from right here in Windsor and the Carleton Ravens, 71-67 in a close game. And although that, the women lost to Carleton 109-64. Also on Friday, the men's hockey team smashed Guelph 7-1. They then lost that lost their next game on Saturday to Toronto 9-3. So how the tables turned in that one. But the women's hockey team also lost a close 3-1 game to Western over the weekend. And as mentioned in the Athletes of the Week, the volleyball teams both swept Trent on Saturday, 3-0 in each matchup. And although both teams lost to Toronto on Sunday, 3-2 for the men, it was a close one, obviously, and 3-1 for the women. And this week for the Lancers, look ahead, highlights a lot of home games. We have a lot at home tomorrow. The basketball teams host the York Lions at the Dennis Fairhall Fieldhouse. Meanwhile, the men's hockey team will host Ryerson at the Capri Pizza Center, South Windsor Arena at 7:30. Saturday afternoon, the volleyball teams will welcome the Western Mustangs to the Dennis Fairhall Fieldhouse before the basketball teams welcome Lakehead Thunderwolves for their second game of the weekend. And the men's hockey team will have their second game of the weekend against the Toronto Varsity Blues at South Windsor Arena, Capri Pizza Center at 7:30. The women's hockey team will be on the road this weekend in Oshawa and Kingston. And for the full Lancers look ahead, see our social media as retweeted by the Lancers. See their social media or listen to the radio show. There should be some more news on there. There is a track meet on Monday too. But for all Lancers sports, games, times, more information, how to stream live games too as well, visit goldlancers.ca. The Windsor Spitfires are riding a 3-game losing streak this time. It all started on Thursday against Flint. And a big shout out to Perry Wilson, who was his guest on Thursday for the game, as he was my guest 1 week here on Wind City Sports. He's the goaltending coach for the Windsor Spitfires. You can go back and listen to that in a very recent episode of Wind City Sports, episode 178, our second of 2020. That was a fantastic conversation. What a great guy. So thank you so much, Perry, for doing that. You know, taking the time out to do an interview with me is more than enough. So thank you for, you know, showing me a great time at the game with my guest as well. But from there, they lost to London on Friday and Owen Sound Saturday. All high-scoring games too. 8-3 on Thursday, 7-4 on Friday, and 6-2 on Saturday. Next up, they have the Hamilton Bulldogs at the WSU Center tonight, looking to bounce back and get back to the winning side of things. They've dropped to fourth place in the OHL's Western Conference after battling for first the entire season. This has been a pretty big hit for them at a critical time, only 2 months left, really. From here, they have a home-and-home with the Sarnia Sting, kicking things off in Sarnia tomorrow, and then here in Windsor, Saturday night. For more information on all games, visit windsorspitfires.com. And as mentioned, it has not been a good week for Wind City. Not going to lie, the Windsor Express basketball team also lost 2 home games this weekend, 117-104 against the Sudbury Five on Friday, and then 120-98 on, I believe, Sunday, actually, against the London Lightning. Express haven't been able to keep their train at full speed since the beginning of the season, really. Sporting a 5-6 record and sitting at third in the Central Division out of 4 teams, so I mean, that's not like that great. And they are on a 3-game losing streak as well in comparison to our Spitfires. So they start a stretch of away games this week, and they'll be returning to the WFCU Center on February 17th. So hopefully by then, go into everyone else's barn and do what they did to us. So see you at windsorexpress.ca or the nblofcanada.com or their social media for more information. But I think that's it this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Hear more news on the Wind City Sports Radio Show and every week here on the podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast. So you can hear the radio show every Thursday at 12:30 live, featuring highlights from our interviews from the podcast, local sports news, a lot more sports news, and some good music from rather my personal choice or CJM Singles Club. But you can listen to the full uncut podcast with interviews with local athletes and coaches here on the podcast every Thursday, dropping first thing in the morning on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere they're found. You can go to Wind City Sports directly if you're ever having trouble finding us. And if you're having trouble finding us, Wind City is all one word, W-I-N-C-I-T-Y. And that goes the same for our social media at WinCity_sports, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is. Give us a follow, give us a subscribe, give us a like. And as well on YouTube, give us a subscribe. We have exclusive videos on there as well. And you got to check out Cedric's Combat Corner with his interview with OJ Atagwe, a former NHL player or NFL player who is now boxing. He's from right here in Windsor, so that's a pretty cool one. Check it out on YouTube and on his podcast. But anyway, you can follow me, Drake Damore, on Twitter and Instagram. But until next week, smell you later.